Hi, I'm Tracy Eckett, Senior Physical Therapy Assistant at UT MD Anderson, and I primarily work with breast cancer patients. I'm here today with Dr. Salahuddin Abdi, Chair of Pain Medicine at UT MD Anderson, and this is the CancerWise podcast. Dr. Abdi, thank you for joining me today.
Happy to be here.
In our roles at MD Anderson, we encounter patients that have developed neuropathy, and this can be very devastating to some of our patients' lives with their loss of the ability to walk, hold things in their hands, dress themselves, and other activities of daily living. So today we're going to talk about how to manage some of the effects of the neuropathy. Would you please explain what neuropathy is?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very important question to begin with, really. In this case, neuropathy, what it really means and how it affects patients' quality of life, which we'll go into that shortly. So neuropathy is defined as any type of nerve damage which results in abnormal function of that nerve. So if for those who might be a little bit interested in the history of the word, where it came from, it's really an ancient Greek word meaning neuros, meaning nerve, and pathia or pathos, meaning injury, disease, or condition. So if you put the two together, neuropathy means damage and conditional nerve damage specifically, which results in abnormal function of the nerve.
Dr. Abdi, what are some of the symptoms of neuropathy?
Yes, very, very interesting. So symptom-wise, if we focus on chemo-induced peripheral neuropathy, typically patients present with peripheral, in this case, legs, feet, as well as hands, associated tingly sensation. Pain sometimes, not a lot of times, but sometimes, as well as its effect on the motor function, fine motoric of hands. If the hands are involved, really, they are not able to hold a cup of tea. They are not able to button their shirt. So simple things which we take for granted. Absolutely. It's very, very difficult for patients who are affected with that neuropathy. A lot of times that neuropathy might start with toes and ascends upwards towards the legs. And subsequently, it might also affect the hands and fingers, as I said. Unfortunately, occasionally patients might have both hands and feet affected with that. And you could imagine how much their quality of life would be affected in those cases. So typically, they have a tingling sensation and pain. They have a burning sensation. They have electrical shocking sensation intermittently coming on and off. And occasionally, I would say maybe about 25% of the cases, they might be very hypersensitive. You cannot even touch them. They can't touch anything because it's so sensitive. They are not able to wear their socks, which they normally do, you know, normal shoes. They won't be able to do that. They won't be able to walk because of the numbness and the tingling. It really affects their quality of life quite significantly. And that subsequently could also lead to depression. You know, if you are not able to do something which you have been doing for your life, you know, until you get that chemo treatment, it really affects your life.
It does.
So we as the providers, it's our job in collaboration with you guys, really, as a physical therapy department. We try to help them in many different ways. We'll go into the treatment options. And also seek your help to get them, you know, give them appropriate type of exercises and physical therapy management to improve their quality of life, to make them functional. The goal is never just to reduce the pain and the tingling sensation. The goal should be to make them more functional so that they have a better quality of life.
What are some of the chemotherapies that can cause neuropathy?
Yeah, interestingly, almost all chemos induce. Obviously, it really, there are certain criteria why some patients might have, you know, just a small amount of symptom compared to others. It depends on the age of the patients. In general, according to literature, we know that the elderly patients are more susceptible to get this chemo-induced peripheral neuropathy compared to the young generation. also the recovery time is much better or favorable to the younger generation compared to the old elderly generation. Underlying other disease, you know, we have a number of patients who have already, you know, vitamin deficiency or diabetic on board. In addition to when they get any type of chemo, they are more susceptible to get chemo and disulfide neuropathy. But also severity-wise, the amount of drug which they get is directly related to the severity of the disease which they might have. So there are many different factors which might contribute to this chemo-induced peripheral neuropathy. But in general, one could clearly say that any type of chemo could induce peripheral neuropathy. And that's also very, very important to recognize as patients, but also as providers. We need to be aware of that. We need to ask patients if they have any type of symptom. That's very, very important, not only from provider's perspective, but also patients need to express to their doctors. They 100%. Shouldn't wait too long, because the earlier we interview, like any other disease, the better chance of outcome we have.
That's right.
So it's very important for the patients to understand and to talk to their doctors, you know, in advance about this possible risk associated with chemo.
Yeah, absolutely. I have found in my practice the incidence of neuropathy, especially because I work with breast cancer patients, can be anywhere from 70 to 90%.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, without intervention, sometimes it can become permanent.
Yeah.
There is some information out there regarding cryotherapy or cold therapy. And basically, the cold therapy, as we know, will constrict the blood vessels.
Yeah.
So the patient, breast patient, woman does not want to lose all of her hair, has the option of putting a cold cap on her head. And again, like I said, it's not preventable entirely, but it can help them not lose about 50% of their hair.
Yeah.
So again, you do the cold cap during the infusion and it helps prevent some of the hair loss. And it's the same concept with the vasoconstriction of the blood vessels when putting cold packs on the hands and the feet.
Yeah.
Again, it doesn't prevent it entirely, but if we can mitigate the severity of the neuropathy, I think that would be super beneficial.
Yeah.
And I tell my patients the point is just to make it cold.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. So what you said about cooling, timing is important when to cool or when to try to cool. The reason why I say timing is important, like anything else in life, is that when you use the cooling which you mentioned during the infusion period, you'd like to have a vasoconstriction, less blood flow to the extremities so that the toxins do not approach that areas of the extremity in that high concentration. That's the thinking behind that. And with the hope to be able to prevent it possibly, or even just to make it less damage, you know. But during the later phase, after the infusion is over, after the peripheral neuropathy is well established, a lot of patients, in fact, do better if they use heating rather than cooling. And the simple reason is that a number of patients feel very cold in general. So they try to make as much as possible a warm around the extremities, whether using gloves or warm socks and so on. Of course, every individual patient is different. So that's why it's very important to communicate with the provider. The patients need to see a provider and talk with the provider. Let the provider examine them and give them the different options, what might be appropriate for that specific patient.
Absolutely.
It's not, you know, the same thing for every patient.
Right.
Every patient is different.
They are. Very, very individualized care that we do here.
Absolutely.
What are some of the things that you do in your department to help with neuropathy?
There are patients who prefer medication approach, and we have different categories of medications. So whether they are opioids or non-opioids related, a number of medications. Typically, we might use a category of medications such as anti-seizure medications, antidepressive medications, a combination of both sometimes, anti-inflammatory medications sometimes, depending on the individual patient. medication-wise. There are also a number of non-medication approach which we could utilize quite successfully, in fact. Some of the newer, relatively newer options which we have, non-drug-related treatments are the so-called neuromodulations, basically meaning that we modulate or we change the way the abnormal nerves, which I said in initially when I defined neuropathy, how we could modulate or change their functionality. In a simple terms, how could we make them better function rather than continuing to have abnormal function of those damaged nerves? Right. So there are different approach, invasive approach and non-invasive approach. I've been utilizing over the last few years really the so-called scrambler therapy, just like scrambled eggs. And the reason why it's called scrambled egg is that we try to scramble the information which originates from the injured nerve, whether it's from hands or feet, to the brain. That's where it, everything, all the signals end up anyhow. And the brain interprets that signal as a painful sensation normally. So we try to scramble by using this device and treatment techniques to be able to retrain the brain to recognize normal signal rather than the abnormal painful signal. And we've been doing it relatively successfully. Of course, not on 100% of patients, but I would say the majority of patients seems to get better within a short period of time. And it doesn't have any side effects. There is no complication associated with that. The only maybe a little bit of downside of that treatment, the so-called scrambler treatment, is that it has to be done at least over 5 days. So patients come every single day, Monday through Friday normally, to our pain clinic to get the treatment for 30 to 45 minutes on an average. You know, so it's investing 5 days a week or 45 minutes or so each day, which I think is worthwhile. We have a number of patients whom we took off their pain medications completely. We have a number of patients on whom we at least reduce the amount of pain medication they require.
That's wonderful. Regarding the scrambler, is it patients who acutely have the neuropathy, or can you see patients that, oh, I've had this for 5 years, is there help for me now?
Absolutely. It's a very good question. It really doesn't matter as far as our success rate has been so far with scrambler therapy. I have a number of patients for X number of years of chemo. I also had patients who just finished their chemo and then came to me because, you know, it's very unpredictable. Some patients do have the sensation, that tingling sensation and neuropathy immediately during the first cycle of their treatment. Others might have a little bit later on. So fortunately, those patients who present to us could get the treatment early enough and get better results than the others. But you know, the treatment does not rule out those who have a chronic disease not to get the treatment. So we do have success with the other ones
as well, too.
Yeah, it's really amazing. The good thing is it doesn't have side effect. So what we do is we place the electrodes, if its hands are involved, around the wrist area.
Okay.
And for feet, around the ankle area normally or above the ankle. So what I tell patients is the first thing they feel is like a bee sting when you put on the machine basically and turn on the machine. And afterwards, they just feel like a vibration type of sensation, coming and going type of vibration sensation, not painful at all. Now, the question which your patients always ask me is that, how long will that last? I'm very happy now, but how long is it going to last this? Is it going to come back and so on? Each individual's response is different, the same way like any other disease. But in general, those patients who do respond in the early treatment phase, they do seem to respond for about several months, I would say. And the good thing is, if at all the pains come back, if at all, some patients might get another cycle of chemo treatment, who knows what for. But no matter what the reason is, if the pain comes back, they could get a booster treatment.
Okay.
And that booster treatment doesn't necessarily have to be 5 days again. So it could be a day, depending on how much sensation, the tingly sensation or pain they might have. It could be 2 days. Again, each individual is different. But the good news is this, I would say on an average, several months relief.
Great.
That's really great. Keep in mind, we reduce their pain medication during that time or even take them off,
right,
which also means that all the side effects associated with the pain medication
exactly.
is gone.
Exactly.
So patients' quality of life will be better.
Absolutely.
They are able to sleep better. They
Absolutely.
Are able to be independent. You know, those who have got a significant neuropathy, they can't do anything.
Right.
You know, they can't make their own coffee. They can't go out to post.
Right.
If they need a signature to do, they can't sign anymore.
Right.
They can't go to the bank. They are really dependent on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get the relief, some degree of relief, their quality of life certainly
Absolutely.
Gets better and they become independent to some degree.
Absolutely.
So,
that is so wonderful. I love,
really
love learning
great.
About this.
It's really great.
From the department that I work in, there are another way to manage neuropathy is getting a referral from your physician for physical and occupational therapy. We evaluate the patient with their strength, their sensation, their reflexes, how they walk, and also their balance. We have had a program going of teaching a specific type of massage for their lower legs and feet in between the toes. Same things for the hands, below the elbows, down to the hands, through between the fingers, and also teaching them specific exercises that they can do. And following this program, we have had a great success with that.
Absolutely.
Because it is, like you said, if they can't feel their feet, they're not going to want to walk. And so getting their sensation back and getting them stronger, getting the proprioception back in their feet just with those interventions has been helpful. Well, the other interesting things is we've been able to put a special type of kinesio tape in a particular fashion on the bottoms of the feet and the bottoms of the hands. And I have had, like you with your scrambler, almost instantaneous results of patient Jane Doe can't feel her feet when she walks. And I put the tape on the bottom of her feet and she's like, oh my gosh, I can feel my feet. And so she's able to do things like you discussed, her activities of daily living again. So those have just been super helpful. But with any kind of physical therapy and occupational therapy, you have to continue to do those things
Absolutely.
At home, the massages, the
Absolutely.
Exercises. A compliant patient makes a great patient.
Absolutely.
And makes a functional patient.
I tell my patients, it's not just 3 weeks you go there and that's it for the rest of your life.
Right.
No, you have
right.
to do your work
right.
at home.
We work with the patient in physical and occupational therapy, and we will teach the patient and or their family members how to massage their hands and their feet. So it's a basic, nice massage, not deep, and you can start just right below the elbow and just a massage like so. You can spend 5 minutes on each extremity, massaging the palms of the hands, the back of the hands, each finger, and also in between the fingers and the toes. Same with the lower leg, same type of pressure, just massaging from below the knee all the way down, around the ankle, bottom of the foot, top of the foot, around the toes, and between the toes as well.
Oh, that's great, I think, because as you said, it's easy to learn, and they could do that at home.
Yes.
The only thing which I would emphasize to my patients mm-hmm. about that is that they really have to do it religiously.
Religiously.
Not just once in a week or yep, so do
exactly.
it every day.
Home program is key.
So it's very yeah. important to emphasize
yes.
it. It's Absolutely. A simple thing, but helpful, right?
Very helpful.
That's the key.
Yes.
And we are truly very fortunate to have you guys because we work collaboratively. It's not just one department working by itself in a silo.
Right.
It's a collaborative effort
it
for
is.
The benefit of patients.
It is.
And physical therapy, not only for neuropathy, for a lot of different types of pain, we really need to incorporate and utilize the opportunity that mm-hmm. we have. One of the first questions I ask my patients with neuropathy is, have you done any type of physical therapy addressing this neuropathy issue at all or not? Mm-hmm. If the answer is no, then that's going to be one of the top priorities part of our treatment regimen.
That's awesome. I know you, like you spoke earlier about the importance of speaking up early. I don't want to have a patient to say, well, this is just what I have to deal with to go through my chemo. It's like, explaining to the patient, like you said, you must speak up and let your physician know if they're developing any sort of impaired sensation in their hands and their feet.
Absolutely, absolutely. We also, as providers, we have to keep in mind, you know, patients could have, particularly patients on chemo could have chemo brain. They mm-hmm. might forget a number of things. Some of them are afraid to say about pain and, mm-hmm. and neuropathy issues, to bring it to their physicians. But I think they have to have a free mind and be able to express what they have with their providers. And most importantly, if they can't do that for whatever reason, we should tell the patients, bring somebody with you, you know, somebody who could advocate for you, family Absolutely. Members, friends, or whoever that might be.
Absolutely.
And it's important for them to have somebody on their behalf if they can't advocate for themselves. So talk to your providers. Very, very important. Providers cannot read minds. Right. You have to tell them what you have so that we could help them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very important. Another thing is also, which we haven't mentioned really so far, is even though, you know, scientifically, the literature is not that huge in the area of chemo-dysporiferous neuropathy, but the number of articles, the number of research articles which are coming out is increasing day by day, really. And even if you look at my favorite subject about the scramble, which I talked about quite a bit, there are more than 100 articles out there currently, you know, even though they are not big scientific articles, but the quality and the quantity of articles about this topic is increasing day by day. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and we are still working on that for the better life of our patient population.
Absolutely. That is wonderful. I've enjoyed this. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Abdi. It was a great discussion.
My pleasure.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to comment or review. For more information or to request an appointment at MD Anderson, call 1-877-632-6789 or visit mdanderson.org. Thank you for listening to the CancerWise podcast from UT MD Anderson.